Today's shiur is Masech Techul and Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. We will begin Bezer Hashem Yisbarach. Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, the top line, says the Gemara. The Gemara continues to tell us what happened when Rav Safra came to Etzisrol. Says the Gemara, Kihod HaSolik, when Rav Safra came to Etzisrol, Ashkechel Rav Zreika, he met Rav Zreika, and he asked him if somebody had this liver, which we discussed extensively in our previous shiur, the different pshatim we mentioned in that shiur from the Rishonim, if the liver was already perhaps salted, or if the liver was not yet salted, and he asked him, Amalei, and he asked him, what is the status of any meat that's cooked together with that liver? Amalei, and Rav Zreika said to Rav Safra, Hai nami loy tabaylach. There's no question about that. The Novi Yana Bereder of Ami, I and Yani, the son of Rav Ami, Iklan Lebe Yehuda Bereder of Shimon Pazi, the Krivalon Kanya Bekufye, and they brought us the windpipe, the trachea of an animal with everything that's attached to it. When it says with everything attached to it, it means the lungs and the heart and the liver. They're all attached to the trachea. V'chalnu, and we ate from this meat. So we see, says the Gemara, that cooking meat, cooking the liver together with other meat, doesn't affect the kashrus of other meat. I did see that there were achronim that suggest that what he meant to say is that he only ate from the liver and the lung, but not from the heart, because I saw Rav Chaim Kanievsky reminds us that the Gemara Masechet Kehoriyos, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, teaches us that Ha'oichel Lev Shel Behema, if somebody eats the heart of a heart of an animal, Mishkach is Lemudai, he forgets his learning. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky says he finds it difficult to understand that they ate heart meat. I saw also that the Sefer Tveris Yaakov says V'chalna. Says the Gemara, V'chalna means he's bringing a rye from what he did. And what probably means, says the Sefer Tveris Yaakov, that V'chalna doesn't mean from him eating it. He had a question. So his own eating it would not necessarily be a proof what should be done. And therefore, he suggests what Chalna means is that it was served on the table. And the fact that it was served on the table and everybody was prepared to eat from what was served on the table, that's a proof that, and nobody had any issue, that's a proof that you're allowed to eat from this. This story is difficult to understand because, as we mentioned earlier, we had a question in our previous year, this entire discussion about eating liver that's cooked with something else, is it with the liver that was salt or not salted? Certainly, in this Gemara, and Rabbeinu Tam said that we're speaking about a liver that wasn't salted. There's no question, points out Tysus, that in this story, the liver and all the other meat must have been salted. So if that's the case, how could this Gemara be an answer to the question that we posed in our previous year? Says Tysus that even though what happened here was that, yes, they salted, but they only salted, according to Rabbeinu Tam, we're going to have to learn, they only salted the heart and the lung and not the liver. Why would they do something if they were already salting the heart and the lung? Why wouldn't they salt the liver? So Tysus explained they specifically wanted to show the halacha that we're discussing in our shiur, that the liver doesn't require salting, and if you cook the other meat with that liver, it will not affect the kashrus of that meat. Also, Tysus wants to suggest we could say that the liver was indeed salted, but it was salted, a regular salting. And the halacha is that when one salts the liver, the Gemara is going to teach us that it's only effective if the liver is facing down. And here it wasn't facing down. The Ramban explains that the question of Azabaya was specifically only by liver that was salted, but they didn't cut it open by the salting. And as we've been learning and will continue learning, that when one kashers a liver for taking out the dam, the blood, you have to cut it open that the blood should be able to run out. And therefore, the question here is that they salted the liver without cutting it. And that what the Ramban says is that what happened here is that they salted it, but they didn't cut it open. And now that makes a difference regarding how to paskin the shayla. Maskel of Ravashi, to which Ravashi asked, "We tamer of Shmuel ben Mizrunikai, v'dema pi kana chutz l'kdeir hava." Maybe at the time when they were cooking it, the opening of the trachea of the animal was facing outside of the pot, and therefore all of the blood that came from the liver went through that opening of the trachea outside of the pot, and therefore they didn't give any tam to any of the other meat that was in that pot. But it could well be that if it was cooked together, the liver with everything else, then indeed the meat would be usur. Inami, or Nada Gemara, offers another suggestion, and that is michlet havacholot le'mekara. They put the liver, before they cooked it, into vinegar or to boiling water, and that is called chalita. And what chalita accomplishes is that whatever blood is there remains there. It sort of shrinks everything that's in there, and because it shrinks everything that's in there, that's why none of the blood came out, and that's why it wouldn't have the ability to make the other meat that was cooked with it usur, but wouldn't be a riot to our discussion. And the Gemara shows us how we know in halacha that chalita makes a difference. Says the Gemara, Kiha, Rav Huna, Chatale B'chala. We find Rav Huna would put the liver into vinegar before he would cook it. Rav Nachman, Chatale B'roischin. Rav Nachman would put into boiling water. And therefore, this Gemara is not a raya. Says the Gemara, V'savra Papa Kamedra of Meimer, Rapapa wanted to say, Chala Asur, that the vinegar in which you put the liver before you kasher it, before you cook it, actually, becomes Asur. Amalei, to which Rabbi said to Rapapa, if that's going to be your approach, Ichala Asur, if you're going to say that the vinegar is Asur, Iyu Nami Asur, then the meat should be usur. Why? Because kiheche the pollet, just like the liver expels any blood into the vinegar, if that's what you hold, so then that blood gets reabsorbed by that liver. And therefore, that liver should be usur because of the blood that got re-soaked into it. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Bashva Ikla Bei Rav Nachman tells us the Gemara that Rabbi Bashva came to the home, to Yeshiva Rav Nachman, Aisla Kavda Shlika, and they brought him a covered that was very well cooked. Rashi says Sholuk means that it was very much cooked. And the Ritva points out, I saw, that even though in Shas, when the Gemara speaks about the word Sholuk, sometimes it means cooked, just regular cooking, and sometimes it means overcooking. Here, there's no question that sholuk means that it was heavily cooked. It says the Gemara, heavily kavda shlika, they brought him a liver that was very well cooked, v'le'ovar, and he didn't eat because he felt that you're not allowed to eat such a liver. Omalei, they said to Rav Nachman Barbarei, Rav, the legavle achad, the Talmud, who's a guest in your home, is not eating from this liver which is being served to him. Umanu, and they told him, who's this Talmud? Rabbi Bashva. Amala, at that point, Rav Nachman said, Gam ul shava, force him to eat this liver. Says the Gemara, Ketanoi. This question about eating a covered hashalik suggests the Gemara is actually a machlokes tanoim, because tells us the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar Omer, hakovered aseres, that a liver that's cooked together with other meat makes the other meat osur. However, the ain an aseres, it doesn't become osur because of the blood that expelled from it and gets reabsorbed. Because, explains Rabbi Elazar, what happens is mipnei shepeletus, the liver indeed expels blood. However, the ain't a balas, it doesn't absorb blood. Rabbi Shmuel ben Noshe, Rabbi Yochanan Chayil Omer, he disagrees and he says mutabelas, that if the liver is spiced aseres, that indeed the liver will prohibit, will make that the other meat that's cooked with it usur, and also the aseres, because since it's spiced, it softens up the meat, and therefore since it softens up the meat, it causes that the liver meat not only will expel the dam, but will reabsorb the dam. That's the way Rashi learns. Other Rishonim learn that if you spice the meat, it causes that there should be cracks in that meat, and therefore the blood is easily reabsorbed because in those cracks. That's the opinion of Rabbeinu Gershom. The Rashba explains that since if you spice it, the sharpness of the spice is what makes that it should be able to expel and reabsorb the blood. Shluka, similarly, if the liver, as we're learning, was overcooked, oseris, and you cook other meat with it, it will make that meat osir for neseris. Again, since it was cooked for such a long time, that's why the halacha is that it will have the same halacha, that it will make the other meat osir and it will become osir. So, of course, the Rishonim asked the question, if the halacha is by metubeles, that when it's spiced, and also when it's shluka, the same, so why was it stated in two separate halachas? So one teretz that the Rishonim suggest is that even though Rabbi Elazar holds that by shluka it won't affect the other pieces of meat, but it won't make it usher, by mutubeles he'll agree. And therefore, since the halacha of mutubeles and shluka is not the same, since it's not the same, that's why the Braisa chose to mention it into two separate cases. The Maram Shif gives a different teretz. He says, if the Braisa would have combined shluka and mutubeles, we might have assumed that when is the halacha of aseres v'neseres applicable? When you have a combination of both shluka and mutubeles. But if you don't have a combination of shluka and mutubeles, only one of them, it won't be aseres v'neseres. That's why it had to be mentioned explicitly that the halacha is that it's that either one has this halacha. The liver has different simponis, different blood vessels. Says the Gemara, Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Ikla Bei Rabba Bar Rav Nachman, Aisel Kamei Tla Soy Tachoy. They gave him three soam of bread that they had smeared it with oil and honey. And says the Gemara, Omluhu, and Rabbi Bar Rav Huna said to the family of Rabbi Bar Nachman, Mi av yedis da sino, were you aware that I'm coming today that you prepared such a nice meal for me? Amalai, and they responded, Mi edophilus mena, are you any more important than Shabbos? The Ksiv and the Pasuk says regarding Shabbos, V'kolosol Shabbos oinig. And for Shabbos, we have to prepare nice food. And since we have to prepare the nicest food for Shabbos, that's why we prepared this food anyway. So the Sfas Emes asked the question, what made him assume that the meal was prepared in his honor? Why didn't he immediately understand that the meal was made l'kavod Shabbos? Says says the Sfasemis. The Rav Rav Huna thought that if they prepared the meal for Shabbos and not for him, they shouldn't have taken out this food in his presence, because it would be a situation of Gnevas Das, that they're making him think that they prepared this meal in his honor, when it really wasn't in his honor at all. It was in honor of Shabbos. That, so Rabbi Rav Huna then thought that even if he wouldn't have come, even if they wouldn't have prepared it for Shabbos, they would have prepared it in his honor. And therefore he thought it's not a situation of Gnevas Das. But they told him explicitly that they prepared it for Shabbos. Adach Ashkehu Kavdom. And while they're having this discussion, there was a liver, David Bar Mesumpin the Bli Adam, that still had the blood vessels full of blood. And he asked them, why did you leave those blood vessels in the liver? And the way Rashi explains, that even though, as we've been learning over the last couple of shiurim, that the liver is all full of blood, but even though it's full of blood, the halacha is that we could kasher a liver to take out the blood, the simponis, which are the blood vessels, cannot be questioned. And therefore, it cannot be kashered. And therefore he asked, why did you leave the simponis that are full of blood? That blood has no way to be removed from the liver. Amalei el hechenavid. So they asked him, so what is the proper way of preparing? Amalhu, and he told them, shesiv erev, first you have to cut the liver horizontally and vertically, v'chituch l'tachas, and then cut it on the bottom, and that's how all the blood will come out by roasting it. Says the Gemara further, v'hanimili, when is this required, that before the roasting, we have to cut it horizontally and vertically and make this cut? Says the Gemara, hanimili, when would the said, b'kavda, by liver, aval tachlo, when we speak about the spleen, and the Gemara says that when we speak about the spleen also has that reddish, has that red color, and therefore it looks like it's all full of dam, just like the river, just like the liver. The halacha is that the spleen is not treated like the liver, because the redness and the spleen is shumna ba'almahu. It's just very fatty, but it doesn't have more blood than any other type of any other organ. Kehal the Shmuel, and he says we see this. The Shmuel avdalei tavshila de machli b'yom davin milsa. Shmuel would serve spleen on the day that they did hakazas adam, because the Haday that did Hazus Adam, they would have to eat a good meal, and the spleen was the perfect food to serve that day. It was just cooked, not roasted. For you see that the spleen is not considered like the liver. Itmar, says the Gemara, we learned in the Yeshiva, Kavde Uli Basra, if somebody is roasting liver together with meat on one spit, and the liver is on top of the meat, even though the meat of the blood of the liver is flowing onto the meat, it's mutter. Dama, because what happens, says the Gemara, the dama, the blood, mishrik sharik, what happens is the blood just is very smooth, slippery, and therefore it doesn't get absorbed into the meat. However, says the Gemara, kachlo, we've been speaking about the chal, the udder, and says the Gemara, chala ili basra, if we have the chal on top of the meat, osur, that's osur. Says the Gemara, my tama, what's the reason? Cholav, the milk that comes out of the chal, sruchim misrach, gets attached, gets absorbed into the meat that's below it, and therefore it becomes basa b'cholov, and we can't eat that meat. But says the Gemara, Rav Demi ben Ado Amas Nefcha. He taught us the halacha just the opposite. Kachla libasra, if we have the chal on top of meat, shari, that's mutter. My tama, shechal of shchuta. As we've been learning in our shiurim, the meat, the milk in the chal is not considered real milk. It's considered chal of shchuta. And since it's considered chal of shchuta, that's why it's only awesome at Rabbanan. And therefore, we're not concerned that much if that milk gets absorbed into the meat. However, kavdali basra, we have the liver on top of meat. There we have to be machmer. There it will be usur, because there we're dealing with issa deraisa. We're speaking about blood, and real blood, and the blood that will get absorbed into that meat, we're dealing with issa deraisa. Darsh Marema teaches us the Gemara. Darsh Marema, Hilchasad Allah is Bein Kavda, both by the liver, or Bein Kachla, by the Kachal, Tute Basra, if, as we're roasting it, we put the liver or the Kachal under the meat, Shari, that's Mutter. So, of course, the question is that, what's the Chiddush? The concern that we've been learning in our Gemara is that the blood will come out of the liver and go on to the meat. The milk will come out of the chal and go into the meat. But here it's just the opposite. So the Rosh Yosef explains that many times when we roast, we turn around the meat. And since many times when we roast, we turn around the meat, so there's a real concern that you're going to accidentally have just the opposite, where the liver or the chal are on top. Teaches us the Gemara, we need not be concerned. Again, Hilchasa, Ben Kavda B'chala, Tuti Ben Chala, Tuti Bisra, if it's under the meat, Shari, it's Mutter, Ilei Basra, if we put them on top of the meat, the Eved in, it's only kosher, the Eved, but L'chatchil Eloi. The Rishonim also point out that the chal that we're speaking about in our Gemara is speaking about the chal that we spoke about earlier in our perek that was cut vertically and horizontally and the milk was squeezed out. And therefore, in such a case, we could put the meat on top of the chal and we don't have to be worried about the meat, what's absorbing, what's expelling from the meat getting mixed up with that milk. Because all of the milk has been removed. But, continues the Mordechai to explain, still, even though we're speaking about a chal that was cut open and squeezed out, still, l'chatchila, we should not put the chal on top of the meat. Because even after going through the entire procedure, there's probably still, says the Mordechai, some milk left in the chal. And therefore, even though, as we learned, if you go through this procedure, we're allowed to cook the chal, and we're not concerned that the chal now is a combination of basa b'chalav, still, when we're putting chal on top of meat, and there's a little milk left in that chal, it's a much closer situation of basa b'chalav, and therefore, we have to be machmer. There are two ways that the Rishonim discuss what Merema comes to teach us. Do we say that there's a machloikis over here? Do we say that there's a machloikis by the Eved? That the version that says that you're allowed to do covered on top of the meat is only by the Eved, and the chal is usur even by the Eved? That's one way of learning. And Rav Dimi said that the chal on top of the meat is mutter b'di'evid, and the liver on top of the meat is also even b'di'evid, and therefore Merema that said that both by chal and by meat it's only mutter b'di'evid, he took the kula of both versions. However, if we say that the both versions were only speaking l'chatchila, but with the Eved, he agrees both by Chal and by Kovid. So Merema was Machmer more than both of them. because he says that l'chatchila both are not osur. Says the Rav Ashi ikol bei Rami by Rav Amr by Chamua. He came to that home. Chaz lebrei the Rami by Abba. He saw the son of Rami by Abba. The car shafid covered alu basla. He put liver on top of the meat when he was roasting it. Amr, to which he commented, kamayor haim rabbanon. This Talmud Chacham is asked as acting, he said, in an arrogant fashion. Because said, Eimed Amr Rabbanon, when did the Rabbanon say that you could do this only b'dieved? And he's doing this l'chatchila. L'chatchila mi'amr. And as the Mefarshim explain, that somebody who wants to do something which is only b'dieved, and only mutl b'dieved, and he does it publicly, that's considered something that is the act of arrogance. Says the Gemara, even though we're saying that we could put the meat on top of the liver, says the Gemara, if under the spit where they're roasting the meat, there's a bowl or receptacle that catches the fat that comes out, then we shouldn't put the meat on top of the liver either. Says why? Because the blood of the liver will get mixed up with that fat, and therefore make that fat also. Says the Gemara, but I don't understand. My shna, why is this any different? Midama de basra, from the meat, the blood of the meat that doesn't affect the shumen, the grease that comes out of the meat. Answers the Gemara. When you have meat, blood and fat getting mixed together, the blood floats to the bottom of the keli, the oil, the fat, floats to the top, and therefore you'll be able to separate this, the grease, the fat you'll eat, and the blood you won't eat. However, says the Gemara, avodama, the kavda, when we speak about the blood of liver, it floats to the top. It's a heavier blood, apparently. And it will float to the top and get mixed together with the grease, with the fat. And because of that, teaches us the Gemara, we shouldn't eat that type of meat. That we shouldn't let that happen because it's going to affect the kashrus of that fat that they used, apparently. Says the Gemara, Amram Nakram Shmuel, Sakin Teshachaba. If you have a knife that you use to do shechita, also lachta by reseach. You should not use that knife to cut something that's hot. Why? Because the blood, the knife, the base of shechita, the place where we have where we kill the animal is hot, and therefore when blood comes out from it, it's hot blood, and that hot blood gets absorbed into the knife. Now, when you cut hot food with that knife, the tam of the blood goes out from the knife into that food, and that's why it makes that food usur. If, however, says the Gemara, tzoinen, you cut a cold food, so now we don't have any heat that will cause that the blood should go out from the knife into that food. Amrilei, some suggest what the halacha will require is hadacha, that we have to rinse the food. Amrilei, and some suggest by hadacha. This is the way Rashi learns this Gemara, that the question if it requires hadacha or not is that if you used a knife that you did shechita with the knife, here we have a question if, and when you cut something cold with it, is hadacha required or not? Tosfos disagrees. And Tosfos says that what the Gemara means to say is that before you use the knife to cut something cold, do you have to rinse the knife? Or does the Gemara mean to say that since this knife is being used to cut something cold, it doesn't even require hadacha, just wiping it off is enough. But once you used it according to them, once you use this knife on to use something for something cold, that the halacha will be that nothing, it's already fine, and just rinsing it, it would be enough. And Tysus explains that the way to look at this Gemara is, how do we look, how does the halacha look at using a knife which has a bliya of Isser to cut something that, to cut something cold? Is hadacha enough, or, and then you could use it to cut something else, or is, you do need to do more? But Tysus says that if you use the knife of a nochri, a non-kosher knife, then the halacha will be that everybody will agree you cannot use it to cut even something cold until you put it into the ground 10 times to get off any grease that may be on this knife. The Rabbeinu Tam disagrees, and he says he doesn't agree that there's a difference between if you use it on a permanent basis, on a temporary basis, what you're going to cut it for. He says that if you have a knife that had a bli of Isser, the knife that we just talked about, the knife that you use for Shechita, the halacha is you can't use it under any circumstances until you put it into the ground 10 times. If you only used it to cut something cold, then we could be more lenient. Says the Gemara, Amar of Yehuda Mishmul, Kara Shemarach by Basar, a plate that you use to kasher meat, salt the meat, Aslach by Riseach, we can't put anything hot on that plate. Because since when you put the meat on that plate, there's a halacha that we've learned previously, on meliach kriseach, anything that's salted is considered like hot. So what's going to happen is this plate now gets the blia of the dam, and therefore now when you're going to put something hot on that plate, the blia of the dam will come into that food. Shmuel tameh. And says the Gemara, this is Shmuel being consistent with his opinion. Dam Shmuel, Shmuel's opinion is, Meliach, when you salt something, Kereseyahu, it's considered Kereseyah, and therefore the plate on which you salted the meat, the halacha is, because it's considered Meliach Kereseyah, it will absorb the meat. The Rashba explains what is the reason for Meliach Kereseyach. He says, because salt is sharp, the sharpness that will cause that there should be, that the blood will get absorbed into the plate. But the Rashba actually points out that this halacha will only be applicable, says the Rashba, if you used a lot of salt. But if it wasn't a lot of salt, it wouldn't be the same. Furthermore, the Rishonim debate, what type of plate are we speaking about? Is this halacha only said by a plate that doesn't have holes, and therefore that's why the plate absorbs the dam? What will be halacha if the plate has holes? And since the plate has holes, it'll cause that the salt should run out, the dam should run out, and it won't absorb. The opinion of the Ra'ah is that this halacha is only speaking about a plate that has no holes. As we're going to learn, that's why we're careful that whenever we kasher, we use something that, with salt, we use something that has holes. The Ravid says that this halacha will even apply by a plate that has salt. Continues the Gemara. Furthermore, he says, kovish, something that was soaked in something that was sharp, like vinegar, harei kamavoshel. The halacha looks at it as if it was cooked together. And therefore, if one soaked in vinegar, something that's kosher and something that's not kosher together, we have to be concerned about blias traveling from one to the other, and both will become awesome. Says the Gemara, Kiyasa Ravin. When Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, Omar, he said in the name of Rav Yochanan, Meliach, Enek Riseach. His opinion is that Meliach does not have the halach of Riseach, and he holds that Kovish is not the same as Mevushal. Omar Baya, heard the Ravin lesson. He says, what Ravin just taught us is incorrect. Says the Gemara, Dahi Pincha. There was a plate made out of cheres, an earthenware plate, the Havabe Rav Ami, that was in the home of Rav Ami, the Moloch by Bisra, that they used to salt on it, the Tavre, and because they used to salt meat on it, as we're learning, the plate absorbed the dam. And as we know, the halacha is that you can't kasher earthenware. And since you can't kasher earthenware, the halacha is that there was nothing to do. And the Ran says that from this Gemara, we learn a very important halacha. We know there's a concept of nois and talmud begam, that if a plate or whatever had an absorption of iser, if you don't use it for 24 hours, after 24 hours, it's a nois and talmud begam. So the question that automatically comes up, if that's the case, why was it necessary to break the plate? Why don't we just wait for 24 hours? And after 24 hours, you'll be able to use the plate because it's a nois tamal gam. From here we see that we don't rely on nois tamal gam, and that's not a reason that we should be able to use a plate, that we could use a plate without kashering it. The Ran asks another question. Yes, there's a concern, obviously, of putting hot food on this plate, because as we're learning, the plate has bleus of Isser, and we have to be concerned about the hot food. But why can't we use the plate for cold? So the Ran answers that since, as we're learning, you can't use this plate because it's an earthenware plate, which cannot be kashered, so it can never be used for hot food. Once it can never be used for hot food, we don't allow you to have in the house a plate that can only be used for cold. The Ritva seems to say, interesting. The Ritva says, well, it depends. If this is a plate that could be used that's used for hot, so then he says, indeed, don't use it for cold in the house because it could get confused and you may use it for hot. But if it's a plate that is only used for cold, then we could maybe be more lenient. However, most Rishonim, and that is the halacha, say that a plate that is not kosher should not be left in the house, even if all you intend to do with it is use it for cold. Michti, ask the Gemara. Michti, Rav Ash Ami Talmid Rav Yochanan Hava. Rav Ami was a Talmid Rav Yochanan. My Talmid Tavre. So why did he see the need to break it? Lam Shum the Shmelim of Rav Yochanan. It must be that he heard from his Rebbe Rav Yochanan, Dama Maliach Karei Kuriseach. And because Maliach is Kuriseach, therefore the halacha is it absorbs the tam of the blood and it has to be broken because it can't be kashered. Says the Mar Yosef of Kana Achvud Rav Yehuda Kameder of Hunav Yosef Kama, Kara Shemalach by Basar, a plate that was used for salting meat, Aslach by Reseach, because you can't use it to put hot food on it, because the tam of the salt, the tam of the dam, was absorbed by the plate, and that will come out when you put hot food on it. The Tznoin Shechatch B'Tzakim, and a radish that was cut with a flesh knife, Mutalachlai Bekutach, still you could use that, you could eat that radish together with Kutach, which is a dairy dip. Ask the Gemara, my Tama, why is that allowed? Amar Abaya, says the Gemara, because we have a new consideration. Says the Gemara, Hai Haterabola, the knife was used for kosher meat. And Hai, and therefore, when the bleah took place, there was no bleah of Isser. Hai is Surabola. And at the time, they saw this plate was Beleya Isser. It was Beleya Dam. And therefore, the halacha is that we should not, says the Gemara, not eat it. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rava, M'kia Bala Atar Mayhava. So he's differentiating because he used it for heter. Saif Saif asked the Gemara, Hayatera, Dosla Deyasurahu. Why are we saying that because at the time of the Bliya it was heter that makes a difference, but now we have a situation of a mixture of dairy and milk, and the person that's going to eat it is Suru Achal. And therefore, says the Gemara, Ela Amar Rava, because of this question, Rava says, Hai Efshalatame, the tznoin that was cut with the knife, that's a fleshiger knife, you could taste it after you cut with it, and if you'll taste it, you'll be able to see if it has a taste of basa b'chalav. And what Rav Kahana said, that you could eat it, is indeed because we taste it and see if there's a taste, if there's such a taste. Hai, but the plate that we use to salt meat on it, lo yesh l'tame, because we can't taste it, because when we're talking about tasting, when we're talking a tasting, it won't have a taste of meat, but this will have a taste of blood, and one of course is not allowed to taste blood. Ask the Gemara, Amar Rav Papa Rava, if you're concerned that it may be usur, and now you're tasting something that's usur, so let him make kveil erma, give it to a non-Jewish chef, milay tanan. Doesn't the Mishnah Masechet Terumos teach us, kedei shebesha b'basar, a pot that was used for meat, la'ivasha b'chalav, certainly should not be used to cook milk in it. Then bisho, if you did use it to cook milk, but nice and tam, you have to see if there's a taste of basar b'chalav. Bisho b'truma, if you have a pot that was used to cook truma, la'ivasha b'chulin, you shouldn't cook chulin in it. Then bisho b'nice and tam. If you did cook it, you have to taste. Do you have a taste of truma? Vamrinan, and the Braisa says Bishlama. When we speak about this case, truma tamle koyin. When we speak about truma, the koyin could taste it. Ella bas b'chalav, who because a koyin is allowed to eat truma. El bas b'chalav man tamala. Who's going to taste the bas b'chalav? Vamalan, and he said litame kveila. It should be tasted by a chef who's an expert. Says the Maruch, let a person test it and tell us if there's a tam of dam. Says the Gemara, and why are you saying that if it absorbed dam, there's nothing we could do with it? Answers the Gemara, ki kamina, I'm speaking about a case, the lekek feila, who could do that, where there's no expert to do that testing. If indeed there's an expert in front of us, then we could do testing. Very interesting discussion. As we know, we learned earlier in the Masechta that the Shulchan Aruch in Yeridei Siman Sadik Beis of Al says, Kazayis Basa Shanofa Al Yara Shechala Reseach, if some meat fell into a hot pot of milk, Taim Avdi Kacham Kedera, let a non-Jew taste this, Im amashiyesh by tam basar. If it says it tastes like meat there, a suruv alam mataris, a filipachus mishishim. So that psak is based on our Gemara. Our Gemara is teaching us that when you have a question, if there was tam, then you could ask an expert to check it. However, the Ramah there says, v'ein naigim achshav lismach anachri. We don't rely on anachri nowadays. Mesherin hakol b'shishim. So now we see that the Ramah says we don't rely on anachri. But the question is that can we rely on a Jew? And because the question is a very fundamental question. When the Ramah is machmer and says we don't rely on anachri, on a kfela, what is the reason? Is the reason because he holds that Nochrim can never be trusted? If that's the explanation, then if it's something that can be tasted by a Jew, then we have room for leniency. But if than Ramar's opinion is based, that the sense of taste that people have bizman hazeh has been weakened, so then the halacha would be that we can ask, then we can't even rely on a Jew. And it's very interesting that I saw there was one of the Gedolei Yerushalayim, who was the Teflika Rav, Rav Shimon Aaron Polensky. He was a Rav in Beis Yisrael Yerushalayim. And there was a question where a bird, a chicken, was cooked together with non-kosher food. And the question was, were we allowed to eat the chicken? So he said that what we should do is that first give that chicken to Nochri to taste it. If the Nochri would say that there's no taste of the non-kosher food in that bird, so then we could give it to Sfardi to taste, because the Sfardi is allowed to rely, because the Sfardim followed the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, and according to Shulchan Aruch, you can rely on a kfeil or a ma. Now, the Sfardi, who's allowed to eat this dish based on the kfeil or a ma, if he'll say that there's no taste, then even an Ashkenazi could eat it. Because he held that when the Ramah says we can't rely, it's only on a Nachri. But on a Jew, we could rely. And now it was tasted by a Jew, and a Jew would be allowed to eat it. Itmar continues the Gemara. Dogim sha'olu, fish that were roasted, bekara, and they put the fish on a plate that meat was put on. So there's an absorption of the tam of meat in that plate. Ravama, Rav says you can't eat that fish with dairy, because the kutach, as we said earlier, had a mixture of dairy in it. And we can't eat that fish now with dairy. We may. Rav Amar Osur, nice and tam, because he says the meat gave tam to the fish. And since the meat came down to the fish, you can't eat that fish with dairy. Shmuel Amar Mutter, not nois and tam, but nois and tam. It's a double nois and tam. This is what's known in halacha as a nat banat. And therefore, the halacha is you're allowed to eat it. Because the taste has already been, says Shmuel, so weakened because it's a nat banat. What about the fact that the fish has the taste of basar? So from here, the Paiskim say that even though we're not allowed to eat fish and meat together, but if it's only the tam of meat, we have more reason to be made more lenient. And now you could eat that fish with dairy because it's a nat but not. The plate gave tam to the fish, and then the fish will give tam to the meat. That's called not to the milk, and that's called nat but not. Says the Gemara, v'had Rav, this chumra of Rav, la beferishitma mechalitma. Says the Rav ikal lebei Rav Simi b'chia b'aberei. He came to his grandson's house, v'chosh be'inov, and he had an eye ache, ailment. Of the lay shaifa, they made for him a medicine, batsob, and they put him into a plate. Basachi ramalei b'shul b'gavei, then they put food on that plate, Tamle tam de shaifa, and he still tasted the medicine. Amma, so he said, Yav tamakulahai, this ointment gave so much tam into the plate that the tam continues going into the food that was put onto that plate. So you see, Rav's opinion is that even when it's a nat banat, it gives tam. Says the Mevalohi, that is not a compelling proof, because Shani Hossam, the Nafsh Merar Tvei, the medicine had a very strong taste. Since the medicine had a very strong taste, therefore the halacha is that that's why he was Machmer. The Beis Yosef says that even though Shmuel is being makel when on a nat banat, he says that there's a machloikis how far does Shmuel go with a nat banat? Is it only b'di'evid, or is it even l'chatchila? Says Amar Elazar, I have a koi kamei to Shmuel. Rav Elazar was standing with Shmuel. Osla kamei, dogim sh'olu b'kara, fish that were put onto a flesh of a plate, because of a kutach and he ate them with kutach, yovlei, and Shmuel gave to Rabbi Elazar teeth from that, v'loyachal, he didn't eat. Amalei, so Shmuel said to Rabbi Elazar, l'rabach, yovlei v'ochal, I gave Rav this type of fish and he ate. V'at loyachalt, and you're refusing, says the Gemara, also, l'kamei the Rav, we came to Rav, and he told him what Shmuel's saying. Amalei, hadabei mar mishmatzei, did you reverse your opinion, what you said about Dogum Shol Bakara? Amalei, hasle lazar da abba ba'abba. I can't believe that Shmuel, who's the son of such a great Talmud Chacham, abba ba'abba, the lisle mi divlei svirle, that he should serve me something that I would not eat. And therefore, Shmuel telling you that I ate it, even though, of course, it's true, if Shmuel said it, it's not, he did the wrong thing that he didn't tell me. Says the Marav Huna, Rav Chi Bar Ashi, Avi Yasvi, Chad Bahaygis, the Marbe, the Surah, one was sitting on one side of the bridge, the Chad Bahaygis, the Marbe, on the other side of the bridge. Lama Aisalei, for one of them, they were brought, Dogum Sha'ol Bekara, Vacha Bekutach, Lamar Aisalei, Ta'en of Anovim, Betech Asuda, they brought him figs and grapes in the middle of the meal. Vachal, and he ate them. V'loy barach, and he did not make a new bracha. Even though they're usually eaten at the end of the meal. Says the Gemara, Ma amalei l'chavrei, Yasma, once said to his colleague, we are like Yisoymim, of a Rav Hachi, did your Rebbe do this? Ma amalei l'chavrei, Yasma, again, of a Rav Hachi, is this what your Rebbe did? Ma amalei l'chavrei, and the one that asked, how are you able to eat kutach this way? Responded, Anok Shmuel Svirle. And Shmuel, as we've been learning in our shiur, holds that Dogum Shol Bekara, you're allowed to eat with kutach. Omam Lechavre, and the one that asked him, how can we eat it? Anok Rav Chia Svirle. I hold like Rav Chia, the ton of Chia, pas beteres kol mini machal. Bread takes away the requirement of all types of food. And Yayin, if you make a bracha on Bar Priya Gofer at the beginning of meal, kol mine mashkin. And therefore, even if it's a food, this is what the Rishonim explain, that's not normally eaten in the middle of the meal, still, if it's a food that is eaten, and you made a Maitzi Lechem and Aretz at the beginning of the meal, there is no requirement to make a new bracha. And that's why somebody makes Kiddush on Shabbos by day, and he makes a Bar Priya Gofen, and then he's given something to drink, a shahakel, he doesn't make a new bracha.